you're in the 06010.
Hey, the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. And welcome in another edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Tuesday, March 9th, Field Yates and Matthew Barry are riding solo today. Matthew, just you and I holding down the fort. What have they done? How have they allowed the two of us to be on a show all by ourselves?
Yeah, I think it's a scheduling error. That can only be my, you know, that like we've run out of people that will tolerate us. And I think specific by us, I really mean me. So that's clearly what it is. But it's the off season. It's fine. Like, you know, the off season is where you try new things, where you just sort of like, you know, hey, let's phone this in. Like, whatever. It's, you know, it's guest host, that kind of thing. So that's us. It's me and you, brother.
You and I. So it should be fun. And by the way, I'll note that if I'm not mistaken, a new episode of the Fantasy Show should be out later on today, Tuesday. You can check that out on ESPN Plus. And as you and I are having this conversation, Matthew, we're about 23 minutes away from the deadline to apply the franchise tag. Of course, NFL players usually use that on the best of the best of their roster. But one player who's not going anywhere, finally, after a two-year prolonged, drag-it-out 12-round fight for a contract is Dak Prescott. He signed a four-year, $160 million deal with the Dallas Cowboys. $126 million guaranteed, one of the best contracts ever signed by a player in the history of the NFL. Just a massive, massive deal for Dak Prescott. And I don't know that either of us expected Dak to be anywhere but the Cowboys, Matthew, but for those who have Dak Prescott in a dynasty league, they can feel very secure about their elite quarterback remaining elite for at least four more seasons.
Yeah, the first thing Dak Prescott should do, and I said this on a video I put out on Twitter, but the first thing Dak Prescott should do is like send Andy Dalton something really nice, like a new car, buy him a new house, a vacation home or something like that. A couple of Rolexes, maybe one of each arm, something like that. Because I think that better than even if Dak Prescott had played all year healthy and crushed, I don't think he would have made as much money as he did this year when Jerry Jones got a look at what the Cowboys offense looks like without Dak Prescott. All due respect to Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci and the cavalcade of quarterbacks that played for Dallas while they were without Dak last year. But once he got a look at what the offense would look like without Dak, he had to pay him. So, you know, I think this is a no-brainer deal for the Cowboys. Good for Dak Prescott. And it allows us to talk a little bit about Dak, who feels, I don't know if it's because of sort of who he is, you know, he's a fourth round pick, you know, But obviously he was injured early in last year, but I don't think people appreciate just how good Dak Prescott is in fantasy. Since the start of 2019, this guy is the second best quarter. I'm sorry. Since the start of 2019, this guy is the third best quarterback in fantasy on a points per game basis. Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, the only two better than him. Over the four games last year that he played, the full four games, he got injured in week five. In those four games, he averaged over 30 fantasy points per game, over 50 passing attempts per game, over 420 passing yards per game. He was the number one quarterback in fantasy. Just insane volume. He's the only quarterback over the last 5 years that has at least three rushing touchdowns each of the last five seasons. He does it with his arm. He does it with his leg. He's consistent. You know, he's still only 27 years old as of this taping. I mean, Field, this is somebody that currently on Fantasy Football Calculator, which is a site out there that does a bunch of mock drafts, a real active user base, he's going as QB7. And I think after Mahomes, you could make an argument. I understand if you didn't want to do this, but assuming we see Dak Prescott in August looking like Dak, meaning he's fully healthy, you can make an argument that Dak should be the second quarterback off the board.
Yeah, there's definitely an argument. You know, I don't want to get too far into like a deep dive on Dak versus Kyler, Dak versus Lamar, Dak versus Deshaun Watson, versus Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers, because, you know, there's really not a wrong answer based off of the quarterback two or even quarterback one for that matter. You could make a case as one of those guys as quarterback one. And I do wonder, though, if, you know, the narrative surrounding Dak became too much about the contract and we sort of just like lost sight of how good of a player he is, because we were always thinking about it in the context of, is Dak Prescott worth the contract that will make him the second highest paid quarterback in NFL history behind only Patrick Mahomes. So happy for the player. It's been an incredible journey for fantasy purposes, Matthew, certainly secure and a player that you can count on being the focal point of Dallas's offense for at least four more years. Which brings us to the franchise tag, because the franchise
before we move on there, I'll just say this is obviously good news for Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Ezekiel Elliott. Anyone that is, you know, on the offense there in terms of Dallas, right? So for me, I'm just saying I think that's a I think this is a positive for anyone, you know, and hopefully Blake Jarwin's back healthy as well. Like fantasy. You know, it kills me as a Washington fan to say this, but the Cowboys will once again be really, really fantasy relevant next year. And it's going to, they're going to be one of the best offenses in the NFL.
No question about that. Let's get now to a couple of the franchise tag takeaways. And again, the deadline is now a little bit less than 20 minutes away. So we have a pretty good sense of who is staying and who is headed to free agency. So probably the most fantasy relevant players that were franchise tagged today were Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson. For Godwin, you know, this is a pretty secure player going into next year. Great quarterback, obviously, the GOAT quarterback, I should say, with Tom Brady. And maybe Antonio Brown resigns, but Chris Godwin's going to be a rock star for Tampa Bay again next year, even if he was not as elite in fantasy in 2020 as he was in 2019. Allen Robinson's a bit more of a mystery, Matthew, not because of him, but because we have no idea who's going to be the Bears' starting quarterback. But ultimately, there's just no way the Bears could justify letting a player like Allen Robinson leave for free agency.
Yeah, I got to feel like if I'm Allen Robinson or if I'm his agent, I got to be a little bit bummed. I think they were hoping to test the market. He's one of the best players in the NFL, one of the best wide receivers. And wherever the Bears wind up at quarterback, unless they, you know, pull a miracle out of the hat and somehow get Russell Wilson, as they're rumored to be trying to do, unless that happens, it's probably Mitch or Nick Foles or somebody that's subpar. And Allen Robinson will spend another year of his NFL career with a quarterback that's in the bottom half of the NFL from a skill standpoint. Having said that, he's back with Matt Nagy. He's still going to be a target monster. He's still been a top 12 fantasy wide receiver. You know, when he's been in Chicago, he'll continue to be somebody that that I'm going to be drafting early and often. Just love the player. Don't love the situation, but even in a bad situation, he's managed to produce year in, year out.
We're going to go into the takeaways from the franchise tag and the non-tags in more depth during our show next week, which sure. We'll figure out a specific date on that. Free agency starts technically on Wednesday, but the legal negotiating window is Monday at noon. So we expect an onslaught of news between Monday at noon Eastern time and really throughout the rest of the week. So we might be a little bit later in the week next week when we have our roundup of news, only because we want to let the news marinate a little bit. But a few players that are headed for free agency, Matthew, include Chris Carson, Kenny Golladay, the Lions are not using the franchise tag on, and Hunter Henry, three-star players there. Is there a match that comes to mind? And we're still waiting on official word, but my instincts are that Aaron Jones will join them. Is there one match in mind that if you could play armchair GM right now, you would pick out of any of those players and a respective team that would just be perfect for fantasy?
Well, listen, I saw when Shefty broke the news about Hunter Henry not getting tagged, I saw that you replied to Shefty with a tweet that was only a picture of Hunter Henry being hugged by Bill Belichick after a game. And I thought, boy, that would certainly be interesting if Hunter Henry, knowing, you know, the success that tight ends have had in Belichick's years with the league and knowing what Hunter Henry has done in his young career, boy, that would certainly be pretty interesting as well. I don't think this happens because I think it's Marvin Jones, but for Kenny Golladay, I think, listen, the Rams need a deep threat, and he's obviously had a lot of success in chemistry with Matthew Stafford. So could Golladay go to the Rams? Again, we all think that it's going to be Marvin Jones because Jones, the Jones family and the Stafford family are very close personally, and that's been rumored. So I think that's what happens there. But you're asking me for a wish list. I'll tell you, my Washington football team, we need wide receivers. And, you know, Kenny, whether it's Curtis Samuel or Kenny Golladay, like Washington's one of the few teams with a decent amount of money under the cap, and I wouldn't mind Kenny Golladay at all. Chris Carson, I'm surprised about Field, just because I think, you know, you think about what Seattle has done, like Carlos Hyde, DJ Dallas, like Rashad Penny's been a disappointment since they used a first-round pick on him. I'm just surprised that I wonder if that's still, is it, maybe they didn't tag him, but I wonder if a deal does get done with Chris Carson at some point.
Yeah. You know, I honestly, I'm not sure I'm an advocate for franchise tagging a running back just in general, Matt. Fair. And I love Chris Carson. I love him. He's also missed a ton of time early on in his career, right? A broken leg. He missed time this past year. And he's been the kind of player that's typically bounced back faster than the expected recovery time. But at running back, you need a guy that you can count on every single Sunday. So again, more to come next week at a date to be determined. Just make sure you check your feed on occasion. Well, let's get into our mailbag for this week, Matthew. And there are some...
And I think the first... I have the first question.
Field. Okay, go for it.
If myself... You, Thirsty Kyle, Daniel, Stefania Bell, and Mike Clay were all free agents.
Okay.
Who would ESPN franchise tag on the 06-0-0?
This is really not a discussion, is it? The answer is Stefania.
I was going to say Stefania.
Yeah. I mean, it's Stefania is the clear-cut franchise tag answer. But who is a player? Man, I'm trying to think. So,
I mean,
listen,
I could make an argument for Thirsty Kyle.
I could
make the show tick.
Yep, I agree.
I could make an argument for you. Not necessarily for this show, but replaceable. I was going to say not necessarily for this show, but I'm just saying. I think ESPN would sit there and say, you know, you're a young, talented host who looks even younger, and you're so versatile. You fill a lot of spots. You know, it's one of those things where it's, you contribute to so many areas of the company that I could see them saying, like, we don't want to have to pay 10 different guys to fill Fields' role. We're better off just keeping him.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, honestly, though, I think you're being way too kind. Yeah, being way too kind.
I just know it wouldn't be Daniel, and I know it wouldn't be me.
Let's be honest. It'd be Stefania. We can kind of end the conversation from there and just make ourselves look modest and humble and all that, right? That seems like the reasonable way to go from here. So that was question negative one. Here's question zero in our mailbag this week. Someone asked which Ninja Turtles we'd be. And this is a comment from A Portillo Comedy, who noted, obviously Daniel Dopp is Michelangelo because he's the fun one and the most popular with the fans. Matthew Berry is Raphael because he's overly angry and constantly challenges Leonardo, which is me, for leadership of the group. That's pretty reasonable right there.
I disagree. I don't know. Oh. I mean, maybe I'm overly angry. Maybe that's how I'm perceived.
Yeah.
But I don't think I challenge you for leadership of the group. I don't want leader. I don't want leadership. Don't follow me. Don't pay attention to me. Absolutely not. I'm the last guy who wants to be a leader. I would much rather be the kid in the back of classroom throwing spitballs and goofing off than the kid that leads you to student council meetings or is a hall monitor. You know what I mean? Like, I'm no leader. Daniel, do you think I challenge for leadership?
I agree with you that you are not a leader. I think that you were spot on when you said that.
Fair enough.
I think it might not be challenging Fields Yates as far as leadership, but how about just challenging Fields Yates from like a, can we just get through a show without being like, well, hold on real quick. But one more thing I want to cover real fast.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm an interrupter. Sure.
On occasion.
Yeah. All the time. It's just a bad habit of mine.
You know what though? The joke is on me because I've been, you know, doing the show now for 5 or 6 years. So obviously, if I wanted to make a change, I could have walked away a long time ago. Instead, we continue to come back for more because we actually love it. All right, let's move forward to more questions here. So this one comes from Calvin24. How early do we take Najee Harris and Travis Etienne in leagues? Do we see one of these guys in the mid or late first round, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire was drafted last year? So I think most people know that Najee Harris and Travis Etienne are regarded by most as the top two running backs in this year's draft. Najee from Alabama, Travis from Clemson. I don't know that we can answer this question, Matthew, until we know where these guys play. Would you agree there?
1,000%.
And is there
about this? 1,000%. You got to let me know where they're landing and what their role is going to be. One of the and obviously CEH was a disappointment last year, but the reason why CEH, you know, was drafted where he was. Was because he went to the Chiefs and then Damian Williams opted out. And it looked like he was going to be the lead back, unquestioned role in one of the best, if not the best offense in the NFL. Had Jonathan Taylor gone there, had DeAndre Swift gone there, those guys would have been, you know, the first rookie running back drafted in a mid first round pick. But Swift goes to Detroit, where he's going to be splitting time, at least in theory, a year ago with Kerryon Johnson, more of a crowded backfield. Then you also have Jonathan Taylor, who's going to be part of a three-head committee in Indianapolis, as they had Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines. So I think it depends on, do Etienne and Harris go to places that they're going to be the guy? Yeah. And then, but yes, they're certainly going to be, they're most likely, depending on landing spot, the first two rookie running backs drafted this year in fantasy.
I agree on that. And those guys are going to be rookies this upcoming year, which leads us perfectly into our next question, which comes from CHAN313. Which second-year running back takes the biggest leap and has the best opportunity? Some of the names to consider, Matthew, include James Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Antonio Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, and Zach Moss. I have two names that stand out on that list to me. I'd be curious your picks and if they're the same as mine.
Okay. So I think the important part here is the question. Which second-year running back takes the biggest leap?
Yep.
And has the best opportunity. So when you think about biggest leap, I'm already throwing James Robinson off. Like, guy was running back 5 last year. How much more of a leap can that guy take?
Right.
And in terms of best opportunity, I don't know that the opportunity improves much more for Jonathan Taylor, Antonio Gibson, CEH. They all have, I believe all of their opportunities this upcoming year will be similar to what they were last year.
Right.
Taylor, Gibson, and CEH, again, we'll see what happens with Damian Williams, but CEH's opportunity may actually be less than it was last year, assuming if Williams comes back and is playing for the Chiefs. So for me, my answer is DeAndre Swift. I'm sorry. My answer is, I want to say 3. I'm going to pick, I know he was asked for 2, but I'll say 3, and then you break the tie here, Field.
Okay.
Or it's 7-3. I think in terms of biggest leap and best opportunity, it's DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, and Cam Akers, and not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
But I think Swift becomes the main running back, new coach. Anthony Lynn's going to be calling his plays, former NFL running back, see the success he had with Eckler and Melvin Gordon and with the Chargers. And so I think Swift has a monster year. I think Cam Akers, we've heard about McVay talking in the offseason about how he wants Akers to be an every down back. We saw what Akers did towards the end of last year, you know, and we've seen what Todd Gurley did when he was the number one running back for McVay. And then J.K. Dobbins, you know, we've been talking free J.K. Dobbins. Mark Ingram's not going to be back with the Ravens. They like Gus Edwards. He's a nice complimentary player, but J.K. Dobbins is a better player and a more complete one. He'll get third down work as well. So that's those three guys, I would say. And I think my rankings will have them Akers, Swift, and Dobbins if I had to do it right now.
Yeah, my two that I had in mind were J.K. Dobbins and Cam Akers, with the idea being that DeAndre Swift, who averaged nearly 15 fantasy points per game, was actually pretty solid last year, Matthew. And on the one hand, I'm a tiny bit concerned about the fact that I do think the Lions, and Daniel, hopefully your earphones go out here for a second, might be one of the worst teams in the NFL next year, sort of by design, right? And they have a long-range view in mind. But that didn't stop James Robinson from being a huge factor in fantasy this past year. It might just limit the, you know, the touchdown upside for DeAndre Swift by a little bit. But I'm really excited about both Dobbins and Akers. And you noted, I mean, as much as all of us want to make J.K. Dobbins not just a thing, but the thing in Baltimore, Gus Edwards is not going to go anywhere. He's probably going to get his 10 to 12 carries every single week. Because that's what they do in Baltimore. They always give them 10 to 12 carries. But those are my two, and I suppose DeAndre Swift can be in the mix as well. This one comes from Syracuse Jeff 44, who wants to know, in honor of the Muppet Show being released on Disney Plus, which Muppet are each of you most like? This seems to be your wheelhouse, Matthew. What's your answer?
Yeah, well, I was going to say is I actually don't know that you can call yourself a Muppet. Like you,
okay.
I think we should answer for each other. And I'll answer for you, Field.
Yeah.
And I think the Muppet you are most like is Sam the Eagle, who is, you know, who is straight laced, who is honorable, who gets annoyed sometimes with the nonsense around him. He is patriotic though. He has a great voice.
a baritone, you know, and he's, you know, he's very trustworthy. So that would be my nomination for, I think the Muppet you're most like is Sam the Eagle.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take you at your word on that.
Fozzie Bear, weigh in here?
Fozzie Bear for you? I feel sort of ill-equipped to answer this question. I'm in this weird spot where, like, you have, you know, young children, so you have semi-recently watched the Muppets, if not very recently. I haven't tuned into the Muppets quite as much of late. Daniel, do you have a Muppet that you would assign Matthew as that maybe is a better answer than me?
Ooh, that's going to be tough. I mean, it's obvious that, like, you want to go with the two old guys in the theater that just laugh at everything and make jokes at everyone.
Statler and Waldorf.
Statler and Waldorf.
There you go. Okay. Statler and Waldorf. Nice.
I could see Matthew, like, chiming in from the back with a sarcastic comment here and there, just being, like, that guy that, you know, chimes in when he wants to but doesn't have any, like, real, you know, showtime run himself. By the way, quickly coming back to this conversation, and I hate to derail it here, but if we're going to franchise someone on this show, doesn't it seem like it would be Matthew? Because think about how much money we could save if we just paid him an average of the five highest. Like, it would be a massive pay cut for Matthew Berry.
Oh, you know what I mean? Daniel, what a great point right there. Matthew, do you want to respond to this? Daniel's pocket watching a little bit right now.
He's not inaccurate. Is all there. He's not inaccurate. I'm very lucky in terms of the level of compensation I receive. So I'll just leave it at this. I have some nominations. Fozzie Bear makes sense. I get it with the old guy Statler and Waldorf. I think you could make an argument for me as Kermit on some level. I get flustered easily, which is what happens with Kermit when there's a lot of chaos sometimes. And I'm well-meaning, but, you know, if not always well-executed, which is sort of Kermit, and try to do the right thing. So I think you can make an argument there as well. And I feel like the only answer for Daniel is Animal with a big bushy beard.
Ooh. Yeah,
he's a drummer. He's the drummer for Dr. Teethy and the Electric Mayhem. So you've got the music angle there as well. Mm-hmm. Big bushy beard. Yeah, feels like you're Animal.
I figured it was either going to be Animal or Gonzo as like a weirdo from another planet. You know, like he could have maybe fit as well. But I like Animal. Yep. I'm good with that.
There you go. Do you buy my Kermit conversation at all?
Absolutely. I think Kermit has, like, underneath it all, Kermit's got a really good heart and cares about everybody else around him. And I do think that is you very much. But he does get flustered a little bit. You can see when he gets a little frazzled, you know, he's wearing around the edges. But, like, he's got a good heart through and through and cares about all of the other Muppets that he's with. So
this is true. So little Matthew Berry trivia here. And I've written about this before, but it was a while ago. I am a Muppet freak. Like, I love the Muppets, absolutely love the Muppets. And back in my career, you know, when I used to be a writer in show business, my writing partner and I got hired by Fox to write a new version of the Muppet movie. I'm sorry, of the Muppet show, to do a version of the Muppet show, like a weekly sketch show for Fox. And we were working with Team Todd. They're a producing team that produced the Austin Powers movies and a lot of other huge movies at the time. And unfortunately, the management at Fox, between the time that we got the job and the time that we turned in the script, changed. And we were no longer, we were hired by the old, you know, by the old regime. And so there went that. But it was, that would have been my dream if we got the Muppets, you know, that, like, I still want to figure out a way for me to do something with the Muppets on Disney Plus, because I'm a Muppet freak, and I absolutely love them.
That would be so Field. Let me ask you a real quick question. Do you think that Kyle or Mike Clay would be Beaker? I mean, which one of them, you know?
That's a good one. That's a tough one right there.
See, I
feel like he's so shy that it's Kyle, right?
I actually think Kyle is much more like Scooter. Scooter is the stage manager who wears glasses and, you know, he's very, very helpful. He's literally the only organized one on the Muppet Show.
Oh, yeah.
I think Kyle is kind of like Scooter, actually. That would be my call.
Kyle is Scooter, not Beaker. Fair enough. All right, let's keep moving forward here, because we're going to have more questions from the mailbag in just a minute, including some Dynasty-related questions. But first, do you own or rent your home? Of course you do. And I know it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. The next question comes from Justin B. with a bunch of numbers after his handle. Dynasty startup rookies included, I have Lawrence at quarterback 9. Is that too high on him, Matthew? Quarterback 9 for Trevor Lawrence without having even taken an NFL snap yet.
That's too high for me. Look, I get it. And I think if you were doing a rookie dynasty super flex draft, I think Trevor Lawrence is the 101. But he doesn't really run. Like, he's mobile. He's, you know, he's mobile, right? But he's not a runner the way that Josh Allen or Kyler Murray or Deshaun Watson or, you know, Jalen Hurts is. Like, I'm not even sure he's as mobile as that he's going to run as much as Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, somebody like that, and Justin Herbert, right? That's my concern on Trevor Lawrence, is just how much running does he do? You know, could he be a runner the way Carson Wentz, and you know that Carson Wentz is okay, but like, you know, as we talked about, like, of the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks last year, 7 of them had at least 400 yards rushing. The 3 guys that made the top 10 as fantasy quarterback last year that didn't have at least 400 yards rushing: Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. So in other words, in today's NFL, you either need to be a dual threat quarterback to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. You need to be a dual threat quarterback, like a legit dual threat quarterback, or literally one of the greatest passers in NFL history. And I'm just not sure Trevor Lawrence is going to be either of those guys anytime soon.
Interesting. So, he's a really great athlete. Like, he's an awesome runner.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't see him. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, let's see how he gets used in the pros. He is 100% an awesome athlete, and I get why he should be the 101. He should be the 101 pick in the NFL draft. He should be the 101 in dynasty rookie drafts. I'm just saying, at least super flex, but I'm just saying, like, is that going to be a big part of his NFL game?
I think it will be. Yeah, I do. I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete. He's a great, great runner. I say, like, I think everything you said prior to that, I agree with, though, is, like, I think it's probably simpler to suggest that 9 is too high by just listing players that, like, right now you're unequivocally taking over Trevor Lawrence. Patrick Mahomes, you're taking him over Trevor Lawrence. Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, like, Dak Prescott, right? Wouldn't you take all of those players without really twice about it over Trevor Lawrence?
Dak's 28. You can certainly make an argument for Russell, who's 32. Again, because NFL quarterbacks are playing into their 40s.
Sure.
So, you know, and then you get into Joe Burrow, who's 24, right? Mm. You know, so, you know, that's when it becomes a conversation. So that, and like, Burrow's number 9 of the guys you just mentioned.
Yeah. So maybe 9 isn't that maybe it's not that much of a leap of faith, but maybe a little bit rich for each of our blood. But I just think he's going to be a really, really special player. This is a question.
The other piece of it is that it's such a replaceable position compared to other ones.
Right.
So I'm looking at the question, dynasty startup rookies included. Like, I mean, so, you know, that includes, you know, Devontae Smith. It includes, you know, Harrison Etienne, like, it, you know, Jamar Chase. It includes, like, a lot of guys that, you know, anyway, like Kyle Pitts, like, you know, especially if you're in a dynasty league that's tight end premium, like, Kyle Pitts is going before Trevor Lawrence, unless it's a super flex.
Yeah, I think so as well. Let's get to the next question, which is a question we're asked. I would think this is the most popular question in fantasy year over year. Who are the top 5 running backs for next year, Matthew? So for 2021, if you were to start at number 1, do you have a clear cut answer? And how does it look from there on?
You know, I haven't released my rankings. I mean, there's rankings that are up, but the truth is I'm waiting till free agency and I'm waiting till the NFL draft to do my real first. Okay. Here's the set of rankings we're working from as we head towards 2021 kickoff.
Okay.
But off the top of my head, I'm saying McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, and then 5, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, I think Barkley's in that mix. I think Barkley, think you make an argument for you know, Jonathan Taylor, see where Aaron Jones lands as well. You know, Zeke now that Dak is back, it's probably Zeke for me. You know, but so that would probably be my McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Henry, then probably Barkley or Zeke right there at 5-6.
Yeah, I think I would go McCaffrey, Henry, Kamara, Cook, Zeke / Saquon right there. I do sometimes feel like we're nitpicking having this conversation in March 9th. I also sometimes feel like we're nitpicking when we're having the conversation on like August 9th when drafts are really picking up. But I think with those players that we just mentioned all seem pretty secure in their spot and shouldn't be tested by other players in the backfield, either acquired in free agency or the draft this upcoming year. So we already asked about J.K. Dobbins, so I can ask it one more time. We don't have to go into quite a deep dive on this, but the question is, where do you draft Dobbins amongst running backs, both with and without Edwards being around? I'm assuming what that means, I think Gus Edwards might be a restricted free agent, which means he's most likely returning to the Ravens, but in a world in which he didn't, how much would that impact J.K. Dobbins' value?
I'm not going to answer it without Gus Edwards, because here's my thing, Field. If Gus Edwards, for some reason, isn't back with the Ravens, somebody like him will be. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
That team is so run heavy that you know, there will be Gus Edwards' role is not going away in that offense, even if Gus Edwards does, I guess would be my take. So I think he's top 20. I think he is a, you know, 15 touch guy. But again, you think about running back is weirdly deep next year. I mean, you're always scrambling, but think about who we just mentioned, right? So McCaffrey, Cook, Barkley, Kamara, Henry, Elliott, Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones. Like, there's eight guys we just mentioned. And then you think about, like, you've got like Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, you got Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, if he's fully healthy, like suddenly, like you're into like the 15s with like running backs that, like, I understand there's some warts there. And then of course, let's see where, you know, Etienne and Harris land. Like, I think he's top 20. I think he's somewhere in the 15 to 20 range for Dobbins. We expect him to take a big leap up. Remember, this is a guy who was, you know, running back 28 on a points per game basis last year. We expect some improvement, but again, because there'll be Gus Edwards or somebody like him there, it's hard to get him, you know, past 15, at least for me, as we sit here in March.
Yeah, by the way, a little bit of franchise tag news that I think sort of ties into this conversation about running backs is that Aaron Jones did not receive the franchise tag from the Packers. No. Not a surprise, Matthew, but also opens the door to A.J. Dillon, who I suspect, if you are someone who's looking for a player who could be a breakout candidate in 2021, that almost every article will include A.J. Dillon, who, at least for right now, is the Packers starting running back, because Jamal Williams is also set to hit free agency for the Packers.
Field, and I think this is important to note, and you can speak to this because this is much more your wheelhouse than mine, but just because I agree with you, just financially it doesn't, especially because you've got some crazy contracts out there like the Zeke contract, it financially doesn't make sense for most teams to franchise tag a running back.
Correct.
But just because the Packers didn't franchise tag Aaron Jones or the Seahawks didn't franchise tag Chris Carson doesn't mean they don't return to those teams. It allows them obviously to test free agency and see what they do. But I mean, for everything that I know is that the Seahawks really like Chris Carson and the Packers really like Aaron Jones. And I think if there's a deal that makes sense for both the player and the team, there's definitely an opportunity that they're both back with their respective teams. It just means they're not going to be paid as one of the top, whatever, three or five at the position.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I would think it's much more likely than not that they're gone, only because they've had the opportunity to negotiate with those players since the end of the season. So if you haven't made the progress on a deal now with Chris Carson or Aaron Jones, then what's to say that you're going to make the progress between now and Monday when the legal negotiating window opens up? I think both those guys are gone, but you're right. Like, we shouldn't, you know, start printing Aaron Jones Dolphins jerseys yet, or Chris Carson Jets jerseys as of yet. You know what I mean? So we'll keep our eyes on to it, but I think both of those guys are likely to end up somewhere else. Cool. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. We have six more days. Turn on your Adam Schefter Twitter notifications.
Absolutely. And, you know, follow at Field Yates, follow at Matthew Berry TMR. We will both be reacting to lots of free agency news and come right back here for our podcast because we will do deep dives on all these moves.
Let's get to a question that is very fun, and I'm going to have Daniel get involved here. Daniel, this question is, who sings the fantasy-focused theme song better? International recording superstar Eric Hutchinson or our new friend, Hudson?
Focus, it's 06010, focus. You never did, huh? In case you didn't know, Matthew Berry, TMR. Feel excuse. Secrets curls, damn you, dog. Sing on your building. It's fantasy focus. It's clever stuff.
Yeah, so you guys just heard it right there. Hudson, who is his dad is a fan of the show at Socrates Goat. He tweeted at us and said, out of all the podcasts I listen to, Fantasy Focus is my son's favorite, mainly because of the intro song and not the advice. I think you did a fantastic job with the theme song there. I don't want to say that he's coming for Hutch, but I got to tell you, Hudson, definitely, man, you're pulling at my heartstrings and you did a phenomenal job singing our theme song. Matthew, thoughts on Hudson?
That was fantastic. I think, you know, I saw the video and my guess is Hudson's 4. I don't know if he said the age. I want to say that I think he's 4. And, you know, he's a better singer than I am. That's for sure. I thought that was pretty good. Thought that was very good. And he seemed to give a little bit of gusto when he sang my name. So I appreciate that.
I love that was probably a mistake, right?
I love how he said Field Yates. And that made me chuckle. And I was real glad with that one.
We can't be having, you know, young children mention jailbait, right?
I know. I understand. Yeah. It was cute, man. It was real cute. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't know. That kid's being raised right. Shout out to Socrates Goat. You're raising your kid right. Nice job.
Well done right there. And of course, follow the legend Eric Hutchinson wherever you can find him. Download all his music. He has been so good to us, the podcast, for so, so long. Daniel, should I go back to one more football question here?
Yeah, let's do one more and then close it out.
Okay, we have one from Baptist Girls who wants to know, assuming Zach Ertz gets released or traded, will he have another top 10 fantasy season in him, Matthew? A, does he have the talent and the juice left? B, is it a byproduct of where he would end up? C, is there some other factor that would contribute to him potentially being a top 10 fantasy tight end?
Yeah, so the answer is I think so. I don't know that he has multiple top 10 fantasy seasons in him, but remember, being a top 10 fantasy tight end isn't that tough. It's not the hugest bar to clear, you know, given sort of the inconsistency of the position. And wherever Zach Ertz goes, whether he gets traded or he's released and then he's a free agent and he can sign wherever he wants, wherever he goes, it's either going to be a team trading for him really wants him, or he's going to sign in a place where he can have success. So I think that wherever he goes, he will be a featured part of the offense. And so, look, injuries have been an issue with Zach Ertz, but nothing – I haven't seen anything that suggests to me that his play has declined. The health is the issue with Zach Ertz, but I haven't seen that, like, I think he's a significantly step slower or anything like that, you know. And so given how low a bar it is to clear, I do believe, yes, that there's a chance you know, depends on where he lands, et cetera, but yes, definitely think there's a chance that Zach Ertz is a top 10 fantasy tight end next year.
Yeah, I mean, it really slowed down pretty quickly this year. But again, some of that might be the entire Eagles operation, right? It's just nothing about last year went as planned for Philadelphia. Like, I don't really know that there's a single player other than is there a single player who, like, offensively, like, actually met expectations? I guess Travis Fulgham, like, way exceeded them, right? But
right.
Other than that, it was just a bunch of disappointing years for everybody involved. So I'd like to think that Zach Ertz has a little bit more left in the tank than he showed this past season. I do think, though, maybe the main point is that, you know, being a top 10 tight end is not necessarily this massive achievement given the lack of depth around the NFL. But in the right system, Zach Ertz certainly could be a very interesting guy. He was so good for so long for Philadelphia. As I mentioned earlier.
Think about Gronk, you know, yeah. A year off. coming back to Tampa Bay, but new lease on life. And, you know, he was a top 10 fantasy tight end last year. And so I think just getting out of that situation where it felt like he'd fallen out of favor in Philadelphia and Dallas Goedert is the new shiny object in town, that just going to a situation where he's wanted. And I think that could do wonders for him. So, yeah.
Will be really interesting to see where he ends up and how quickly Philadelphia moves. As we know, over the next 8 days, a lot of teams got a lot of work to do to get underneath the salary cap, which has yet to be set as of this recording. We'll be back at some point next week. We don't know a specific date yet, maybe a little bit later in the week, because we want to make sure that all this news actually takes place as opposed to reacting to an incomplete amount of news, but NFL free agency is rapidly approaching. Looking forward to seeing how it all shakes out. In the meantime, for Matthew, I am Field. We're back to you next week. Talk to you then.
Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady, out there hustling for us, with advice that we really trust. Always there to help. She's not a clone, she's your favorite gal. She's to find your best.